Hi, have you ever thought about changing your environment? We were talking about this last week, but first thing you have to do is change the environment in your head. You can change your physical environment, but until you change the environment in your head, then nothing changes. Nothing at all changes. I'm Apostle Baker J. Baker. Apostle Dr. Baker J. Baker, who is a doctor in psychology, and this is the Tell It Like It Is, the Kingdom of God way. I have Apostle Marshall McGee with me today, who is my co-host on here, and we were on a roll, as he called it, from last week, talking about impartation and implementation. So come on, Apostle Marshall, and let's get this party started.
All righty. Hey, 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 it's me, Marshall.
Okay. You know something that I found out?
What's that?
My birthday is not coming up for a little while, but it is so interesting. I am more energized now around 80 years old, and especially the last month or so, or a few months or whatever it is, I am more energized and more focused and more excited about life than I ever remember being. I can see so many people's lives changing. And that just stokes me. That just stokes the fire that's on the inside of me. It is exciting because I see hope for the body. I see hope for the nations. I see hope for all of it. Why is that? Because I believe that this is the finest hour of the church, that we're beginning to realize that we are here to rule and to reign and to dominate the areas that God has given us to do. So that's where my excitement comes from.
So powerful. I tell you, it's energizing when you discover what you're here for. My journal and my notebook, I have a notebook when I wrote down, and this wasn't my original thing, but it stirred something of the class last week, the Optimize Your Brain Challenge. If you haven't signed up, folks, and do the boot camp. If you want to just get there, you really want to begin to gain traction so that you, this is my elevator speech. That I had, I don't use it. I use it occasionally. I need to use it more. But what my elevator speech is this: to assist people, not just leaders, but assist people in discovering their true kingdom assignment, so they can learn to live full. And so, by the time they transition out, they'll be empty.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Actually, it says to live full and die empty, but I don't like that word "die" because I'm planning on living for a little while. I want us to get kind of work that out of my vocabulary. So let me believe that, y'all. Okay, you don't have to live.
Oh yeah, go ahead. I love it.
So much deaf culture, and so that's energizing because when you set your heart and your life to serve humanity, what greater fulfillment comes out of that? What greater zeal and zest for life and creativity that flows out of that? And when you're living to serve Father through serving people, then I believe that is the greatest witness we can leave in this earth realm. I just wanted to plug that. And so as we were last week and the time got away from us and anyway, I don't know what we're going to do. We just got to flow with time right now till we learn how to make time wait on us.
What you were just talking about, you were actually talking about the sovereignty of God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things. Well, seeking to yield or to submit to the truth that God is the sovereign. He owns my time. He owns my limbs. He owns my heart. He owns everything. Everything. Yeah. And then it brings a reality. And so here it is that I am here to please him, by how I serve those that he has assigned to me to, that how I serve, how I give them the highest and the best of who it is that they are by identifying who they are and helping them to become. There is no greater desire, there is no greater feeling than to see how people start to come alive when they realize who they are, why they are here, and what success is on the inside of them, that they were designed for success, that they were made and they are successful already, and then helping them to find out how to bring it out. That's I mean, that just, that energizes me. You can tell them I'm hyped, right? Yes, you
are. That's what it's about. That's what we're doing. That's what it's about. And I'll get back to this text here. Romans chapter 1, verse 11, as we were talking about impartation, the Lord taught me this. And one of the things he said to me, this was, I think I'd only been ministering as a preacher maybe 7 or 8 years. And I'll never forget that day. And he said, my preachers are guilty of telling my people how to. I mean, telling my people, preaching to my people, but not showing them how to. And from that day to this, I have endeavored to not just preach at people or talk, or even when I'm having conversations, but my goal is to show people how to. And then he began to teach me about the ministry of impartation from Romans chapter 1, verse 11, because, you know, this helps create my vision. And so, and I always say this about Marshall, I'm the guy that can help you if you listen to me. I'm the guy that can help you, and not just in a religious way, in a life way, because sometimes religion pigeonholes us and keeps us in a narrow place that we can't see the bigger picture that Father God has for us. So Paul said this, he says, for I long to see you, Romans 1 and verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. Wow. It is the impartation, the ministry of impartation, that causes people to be established. It's almost like, or identified. Because until we get identified, you still don't really know what you're supposed to do. You can be doing this and doing that, but without identification, you just going around in circles, round and around you go, you know, because you don't have a right identity. And when the Lord showed me that, he said it's an impartation, it's a divine enablement that comes from his spirit that enables a man or a woman to supernaturally bypass emotions, intellect, and all the other stuff and minister directly to the spirits of people. Wow. That's powerful. To minister directly to people. And this is the thing that most people don't get impartation, because when it really happens and it goes into your spirit, this is something supernatural. It's not to your head, but it's to your spirit, because we learn to live and see from our spirit. So when that thing goes in your spirit, ultimately it quickens to your head. And then you can see how to live in that reality. And everybody don't carry that. As my old preacher used to say, when I was growing up in church in my early years, he said, you have preachers, and then you have preachers, and then you have preachers, and then you have preachers. And those are the ones that operate out of a unique divine gifting and grace that only comes from on high, that enables them. We call it anointing, but it's really grace, because it's a divine enablement that only comes from the Father that enables us. And I really believe that part of what we're doing, part of with this program, part of what we're learning with the boot camps and the Optimize the Brain Challenge, we're learning how to receive impartation so that we can begin to live in the reality of what we're being taught. That is the goal. Teaching is great, but if people can't live in the reality of what is being taught or what is being talked about, then at best, because they'll walk away and say, man, that was a great teaching. I got notes from, I don't know how long ago I started taking notes. Back in the day, I would go to a bunch of conferences, which that's how I educated myself in the scriptures, mainly in the word of faith. With Brother Copeland, I would go to his meetings years ago. Every January, we'd be in Dallas, me and my pastor. We'd be in Dallas and Fort Worth at his meetings. And it was such an impartation. And things got imparted in my spirit that still resonate today that the Holy Spirit has expanded upon. And I really believe it's critical. And yeah, it costs money to get a plane. It costs money to get a hotel. It costs money to buy meals because they, you know, they gave us lunch, but that was included in the package. But outside of that, it cost. But I'm so glad I invested time and dollars, because this is one of the keys to advancement, growth, and development, so you can advance. And without the willingness to do what you need to do. Well, I remember one time we drove to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I live in Omaha, Nebraska. It's about a 6.5-7 hour drive. We left early in the morning to get there in time for the service in the evening, heard the speaker, and then got in the car and drove back to Nebraska. We drove that far to hear one man of God because he was carrying what I needed. And if you got my stuff, I don't mind driving. Of course, I don't drive much these days. I like to get on a plane. I got faith to get a ticket now. But this is the investment in ourselves. Because if you don't get the mind sight, I must begin to invest in myself. How many books do you read? How many books are in your library? How many things have you invested in for your improvement? Because all of this brings impartation in your life. And the more you get impartation, the more vision gets created. It gets created in you because now you have a picture on the inside. You have a sense. And sometimes, you know what? I remember, you know, when I lived in Oklahoma, there was a preacher that prophesied to a person, and he grabbed this person by the shoulders and he began to shake him. Said, God will just shake you because you need to wake up. Maybe somebody needs shaking. I can't physically put my hand on you, but in the spirit, we'll just release the Holy Ghost to begin to shake you so that your mind sight can begin to awaken. Because there's something great on the inside of you, and the world will be less better off if you don't come forth.
You said something when you told that story about how you drove to Dallas. You know, I used to do that also. I didn't drive, I flew. But you set yourself up. You started something then that allowed you to, when you saw the Optimize Your Brain Challenge, that you said, okay, I got to find out what this is. I know that there's a voice in there that has something for me. And then what happened is this: you had started on a smaller level, yes, of it, investing in yourself, that you found out that you were worth the investment. And when it came to the boot camp, that's what enabled you to do it. Do you know that you stretched yourself in the boot camp, in purchasing the boot camp? What you did, you stretched yourself so that now you can command the worth that's in other people to be able to do that for themselves. You can never go beyond what it is that you're willing to invest in you. You see, I'm willing to invest thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Actually, over the past year, it's been, it's been quite a few hundreds. I mean, you know, thousands of dollars. It's been like close to $100,000 or whatever it is that I had to invest in me. in order to do what needed to be done. But you know what? See, this opened up, well, 80,000 or something like that. I don't know. But at any rate, what happened is this. It opened up areas in me. It got me out of circular thinking. Circular thinking. So that there was a door, there was an avenue to come out. And this is what's happening to you. You are expanding. Your mind is expanding. Your abilities are expanding. Your receiving abilities are expanding. So now it's not just impartation as we read, but now it's putting you, positioning you for implementation. Implementation is a high realm. And now your imagination of what it is that you can do, you are creating a limitless life, a limitless life. And you're not putting the limits on it to say, well, it's going to take me this long to do this. It's going to take me this long to do this. And what it is this, it's saying, God, you have quantum physics. You have quantum things working. This can work for me. It will be so great as this works. It will be so great. You start to looking at it not as if anything is going to work anymore, but you start to look at it like, oh my God, my God, my God, this is going to be so great. It is so great because you can already feel that gravitational pull. And is pulling you towards the destiny that he has for you. Is pulling you into who it is that you are. You're being expanded, knowing more about who Marshall is, about who Baker is, and why I am here in this earth. And the people, the masses of people, the people. I can see the people coming alive that have been blinded. Their eyes are open. Their ears are open. This is the gospel. This is the good news of the kingdom of God. He said to me through Kirby Clements many years ago that blind eyes will open, ears will come forth. Now I'm understanding what it is that he was talking about. You remember when you see, when you read that thing, that prophetic word that you took time to read for me, that you took time to go to God with. What it was, as he was talking about, you're going to see blind eyes open, ears open. You're going to see this transform, this transform. This is what he was talking about. My God. Thank you, Marshall. This is good stuff.
It's powerful. And sometimes a prophetic word will do just that. It'll wake it up on the inside of you, but you need a prophetic person that can see. Because I don't know how many generic prophetic words I've received. And haven't come to pass. I can go back years and years and years. People meant well, but that right prophetic word locates you in the spirit of who Father created you to be. And I tell you, a few weeks ago, what I did, I don't preach too much, but I ministered several weeks in a row before the surgery because I knew I'd be out for a little while. And the last Sunday that I ministered, the people that were there, I sat down in a chair because my hip was hurting, so I couldn't stand up. It was just easier to sit down. And I just had them come stand in front of me and begin to give them the word of the Lord from God's point of view. And you should have saw, it was such a presence in the room. And some people missed and they said, Apostle, we missed. We want our word too. And I said, well, so I said, I tell you what, but there's some faithful people to us. I said, I'll set up a Zoom. If you come on the Zoom, I'll release to you what God gives me. And I didn't do it that point because they were just faithful members. But you know, they responded with an offering. And I never said anything about that because the word was unlocking things in them. They were compelled to do something in a financial way. And I don't do that for people to give me money. However, when you hit the right thing that people need on the inside, they will open up themselves, I'll say it like this, their pocketbooks to you, and they'll give into that. That's the
point. May I correct something? I heard this. What they did, it was an offering to you. I mean, you felt like it was an offering, but it was not. It opened up for them. They had to let that river come out of them. It was all about them and their purpose. You happened to be the receptacle that God wanted it to be poured into. But it was as you opened it up. This is what it is. The word of God is saying out of, in Ecclesiastes 1, out of you flows these rivers. And these rivers go into the ocean. And it went into the ocean of their souls with some, that was dried up, the things that were dried up. And then out of that, those oceans that were in them, the giftings, the things that they have been waiting for to be unlocked, it unlocked and then it flowed in. You see, it flowed out of them and you happened to be, you were the receptacle, but it wasn't even an offering. It was a thank you. It was a thank you. It was a let's partake together. It was more about them. You opened up something for them so that they could have sight, so that they could start to see.
Powerful.
My God. You know how much we have missed it. As far as these preachers have missed it. Oh my gosh, I need an offering. I need an offering. I need an offering. You don't need no offerings. You need to unlock the people and the people. I mean, every time something is unlocked in me, then I want to keep it flowing. So I keep it flowing by continuously pushing it out. Okay. Yes. When you came, when we were sitting at my in my congregation, before you said a word, I said, I'm not receiving an offering for you. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I said, but come in here. I have something for you. I want you to take this check. This is not for your ministering because you didn't come to minister, and I don't really care if you do or not. We can sit up here and we can talk.
That's
but
right.
That was something, it was poured out. It was poured out. It was not an offering. I think we cheat ourselves and we cheat the people by this sometimes, rather than just unlocking the rivers that are on the inside of them. And when we unlock those rivers that are on the inside of them, then that river's got to flow someplace. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out.
That was powerful. Thank you. That was really good. Because this is what transformation starts looking like. And transformation can only come through a renewed mind. You know, and it goes back to, if I can just backtrack a little, there has to be, you get to a point where, and back in the old church, they say, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired and so on and so forth? Are you tired of being sick and tired and tired, sick and tired of being tired and sick, whatever? And something has to change. And the issue is, for many people, they don't know how. That's why God raised up a Dr. Baker or Marshall McGee, that he's put the positive things in us to help unlock his dimensions of grace that's on the inside of your life. I believe that as a minister of the Word of God, of the kingdom message and so forth, I believe that that when I can really help unlock people, I've done my job. Anything short of that, I haven't did my job. If I can't help them to see, because I believe the burden of the preacher is to help people to see, not just see it, but see how to live in the reality of what's being taught to them or spoken to them. This is the stuff that helps us to get there. And I just know that this is how you're going to get there. And it starts, as you kept saying earlier, you got to get your thinking changed. If your head don't change, you just keep going around and never getting to the point or the place you're supposed to be. If you don't mind, I like to read this scripture. I'll read it and start that way I can get it right instead of trying to quote it. Romans 12 and 1 verse 2, 12 verses 1 and 2, this New King James. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. I like to change that word transformed to transfigured. By the renewing or the renovation. That's one of the meanings of the, in the Greek of that word renew. It means to literally renovate. By the renovation, tearing stuff out so you can get the right stuff in. By the renovation of your mind. And when you get your mind renovated or renewed, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Father God for your own self life. And when you begin to live out of those realities, wow. You know, I can't remember how the scripture goes, but people will come and be drawn to the sign of your coming. They'll be drawn to the sign of your renewal. They have a thing every year in the spring, it's called the Street of Dreams. Well, the home builders build these nice homes and they open it up for the public to come through because they're so fabulous. People are drawn to go see those homes. This is what happens when people, through impartation, getting right information, getting opened up by the Spirit of God through the grace of or enablement from a man or woman of God, when that happens and they begin to shine, people begin to be drawn into their light. They'll come looking for you. Oh, no, gosh. Why do you do that when I'm getting on, I'm finally getting warmed up? Maybe I better start teaching before we come on.
So It's not me. It's the time goes on. God takes us in time. Well, this is Apostle Dr. Baker J. Baker and Apostle Dr. Marshall McGee. And we've been here with you with Tell It Like It Is, the Kingdom of God Way. We've talked to you about Optimize Your Brain Challenge. You can contact Apostle Marshall's Facebook thing. You can contact his website. And here is how you're able to share into this ministry, or you're able to give, or whatever it is. There it is. His information is there. Thank you so much, Kingdom First TV, for supplying this area. And here's my information there. We want to see you next week when we're here to Tell It Like It Is, the Kingdom of God Way. And be sure and check us out. Share this, like this, do all of those things on YouTube so that people are able to see how to change their life through the Kingdom of God Way. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Kingdom First TV, your station for King